It's time for Craves Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout, coming to you from Pensacola, Florida. Over the next few minutes, Pastor Swarthout will share from his heart and bring you a message from the Word of God. We would like to invite you to visit our website at christiansforamerica.com. That's Christians, the number four, America.com. It is our prayer that you will be blessed and encouraged by today's message. And now, Craves Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout from Pensacola, Florida.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Don Swarthout of Pensacola, Florida, coming to you from the Gospel Truth Center. I'm also the chairman for a national group known as Christians Reviving America's Values. We are also known as CRAVE, C-R-A-V-E. CRAVE writes more than 1.5 million letters to Christians in America each year. In these letters, we explain how we are losing our Christian rights, freedoms, and liberties in Washington, D.C. every day. I started CRAVE in 1999, and I frequently say we crave revival in our churches and the restoration of godly principles in America. The well-being of America is down deep on the inside of me. America's well-being is at the very core of my godly beliefs. This led me to the revelation that God wrote our nation's constitution by sending down the Holy Spirit to our founders, and he told them to write down the words he wanted in our nation's constitution. We were to follow this constitution for all of our governmental decisions. God also wrote another constitution for us, and it was called the personal constitution. We were to follow this work to provide us with answers to all other situations. God called this work the Holy Bible. Our website is www.christians4.com. A couple of things do concern us. We are concerned about our children who are not learning what America has made America a great nation. I was told by my grade school teachers how fortunate I was to have been born in this country. CRAVE is also concerned about our politicians' attitude about spending your money and their general attitude toward us, the people they are sworn to protect. This message is entitled, We Want God Back in Our Lives Again. Last week's sermon was on the godliness of George Washington, and was written based upon less than half of the information that is available. The second president of the United States was John Adams. On February 22nd, 1756, John Adams wrote, Suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible for their only law book, and every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts therein exhibited. What a utopia! What a paradise would this region be! On July the 4th, 1774, John Adams wrote to his wife, Abigail. He said, We went to a meeting at Wells, and he had the pleasure of hearing my friend upon, Be not partaker in men's sins. Keep yourself pure. On June 21st, 1776, John Adams wrote, Statesmen may plan and speculate for liberty, but it is religion and morality which can be establish the principles upon which freedom can securely stand. Of his sons, John Adams advised his wife, Abigail, to let them revere nothing but religion, morality, and liberty. On October 11, 1798, John Adams has said to his address to the military, Our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other. On November 2nd, 1800, John Adams became the first president to move into the White House. He had the following engraved upon the mantle in the stateroom: "I pray to heaven to bestow the best blessings on this house, and all that hereafter shall inhabit it, may none but be honest and wise men ever rule under this roof." In a letter to Thomas Jefferson, Adams wrote, "Have you ever found in history one single example of a nation thoroughly corrupted that was afterward restored to virtue? Without virtue, there can be no political liberty." In a letter to Thomas Jefferson, written on December 25th, 1813, John Adams wrote, "I have examined all religions as well as my narrow sphere, my straitened means, and my busy life would allow. The result is the Bible is the best book in the world." In a letter written on November 4th, 1816, Adams wrote to Jefferson, "The Ten Commandments and the Sermon on the Mount contain my religion." Thomas Jefferson was the third president of the United States of America, and on July 4, 1776, Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence. In writing the Declaration, Jefferson made reference to the laws of nature and of nature's God. Jefferson stated the fact that all men are created equal and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Jefferson also made reference to the supreme judge of the world and to the protection of divine providence. In 1781, Jefferson made this statement: "God gave us liberty." He also said, "Indeed, I tremble that for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever." Jefferson said, "Those who labor on earth are chosen people of God, whose breast he has made his peculiar deposit for substantial and genuine virtue." On August 19, 1785, Jefferson wrote to Peter Carr, "He who permits himself to tell a lie once finds it much easier to do a second and a third time, till at length it becomes habitual. He tells lies without attending to it, and truths without the world's believing him. This falsehood of the tongue leads to that of the heart." In 1798, Jefferson wrote in the Kentucky Resolution, "No power over the freedom of religion is delegated to the United States by the Constitution." On November 4th, 1820, Jefferson wrote, "I hold the precepts of Jesus delivered by himself to be the most pure, benevolent, and sublime which have ever been preached to man." Thomas Jefferson declared, "Religion is deemed in other countries incompatible with good government, and yet proved by our experience to be its best support. How can you doubt God chose this country to be the leader of the Christian world?" The fourth president of the United States was James Madison. James Madison attended Princeton, which had said, "Cursed be all the learning which is contrary to the cross of Christ." Madison said, "Religion is the basis and foundation of government." In 1785, Madison said to the General Assembly of the State of Virginia, "It is the duty of every man to render the Creator such homage before any man can be considered a member of civil society, he must be considered as a subject of the governor of the universe." James Madison said in 1778, "We have staked the whole future of American civilization not on the power of the government, We have staked the future of our political institutions upon our capacity for mankind for self-government, for the capacity of each of us and all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God. On March 4th, 1809, President James Madison said in his inaugural address, "We have all been encouraged to feel in the guardianship and the guidance of the Almighty Being, whose power regulates the destiny of nations." God, James Madison was also known as to regularly lead his household in the observance of family devotions, and he was an adamant defender of religious liberty. James Monroe was our fifth president. Although he was homeschooled by a pastor, not much is written about his life in the Lord. On March the 5th, 1821, in his second inaugural address, President Monroe said, "The liberty, prosperity, and happiness of our country will always be the object of my most fervent prayers to the Supreme Author of all good." The sixth president was John Quincy Adams, and he was the son of John Adams, who was our second president. Being a child of John Adams, it was not surprising that he was a very godly man. On July 4th, 1821, he said, "The highest glory of the American Revolution was this: it connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity." John Quincy Adams said on July the 4th, 1837, "Why is it that next to the birthday of the Savior of the world, your most deeply reverenced festival returns on this day? Is it not that the birthday of the nation is indissolubly linked with the birthday of our Savior? I have gone through all of the first 10 of our elected presidents. What I have learned from this exercise is, God was always at the forefront of the minds nearly of all early Americans. God was always included as a part of the country in this early days of our president. They spoke of him out of a true belief in God. Our early presidents considered God as a part of the decisions they made for America. God was always part of the American way of life. The founding fathers were always praying to God for his help. God was part of their thinking about America. Our founding fathers were strongly involved in religion by the Constitution. Today, we are not as sold out to God like our early founding fathers were. Today, we ban God from school. When you think about it, we ban God from having any effect in our daily lives." This is Pastor Don Swarthout saying, "Will you join me in wanting God back in your lives? If the answer is yes, then you can call me at 850-736-8613. God has a plan for my life and yours."
This has been Crave's Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout from Pensacola, Florida. We pray that today's program has been a blessing to you. For more information, visit us online at www.christiansforamerica.com. Once again, that's Christians, the number four, America.com. Or visit thegospeltruthcenter.com. We would love to hear from you. You can write Pastor Swarthout at 4677 Belvedere Circle, Pace, Florida, 32571. Or you can email Pastor Don at swarthout5, that's the number 5, at AOL.com. Or call 850-736-8613. Once again, that's 850-736-8613. Thank you for listening to Crave's Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout. We look forward to hearing from you.